Welcome to Mikey Pod episode 120. Today's guest is Christopher Willits, who I just discovered through his collaboration with Ryuichi Sakamoto, a new album that's out called Ocean Fire. I want to throw out to you guys, this music is going to be a little different from what I normally play, not by a huge amount, but I want you to really challenge yourself, or maybe I'm challenging you to sit down and really give it a listen and listen thoroughly to what's going on, because I think you'll be surprised to discover different layers of things happening here. And it's really exciting to me, new ways of expression like this. So that's my first bit of soapbox. My second bit regards Creative Commons. Toward the end of the interview, Christopher and I talk a lot about Creative Commons, and I thoroughly believe in what it does. But what I want to throw out there is, for this whole cycle to work, the artist makes his work available to us to listen to and to share freely through Creative Commons. Our job to keep the artist working is to turn around and pay for this work should we decide that we like it. It's really easy to do, and it's really cheap to do. Places like eMusic exist, iTunes, you can buy the CD, and it keeps our artists that we love working. So do it. I love the whole idea, the whole community idea behind Creative Commons, and I really believe that we should be participating in that by sharing our cash, basically. So yeah, so there you go. So right after this, Toward Water, Ryuichi Sakamoto and Christopher Willits from the album Ocean Fire, we will have the interview. Thanks for listening. Joining me now is Christopher Willits from San Francisco, yeah? And welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm glad you got in touch.
Yeah, sadly, I hadn't heard of your work until I got a hold of this album you just did with Sakamoto. And I'm glad I did, because it made me like sort of go wild and track down some more of your stuff, which I really like. So,
that's great. I appreciate that.
So I wanted to ask you about some of the process of the composition on this album, because I read in the liner notes that it was recorded live. Does that kind of mean that you guys just improvised in the studio? And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I went to New York. I was playing a show in Sakamoto. I was like, hey, you should come to the studio and hang out and maybe play some music. So we went there, made some amazing tea, and started talking, and we're like, hey, let's do this. And so about 4 hours later, we were pretty much in a trance. I mean, it was effortless.
So it really, in my mind, you had planned ahead and had certain loops set up and ready to go, but
absolutely
everything was...
not.
Wow.
No, we didn't have anything set up. I think we both are really into just, exploring new things, in our work. You know, Sakamoto obviously has a huge palette of material that he's released, and that's really what I'm interested in, as well as not really having a specific thing that I do, but really kind of, experimenting and playing with many different sounds and styles and trying to kind of overlap different genres together and stuff. So I think those kind of common approaches, and then also the fact that we both have experience improvising and stuff, it just fit perfectly.
Cool. Wow, that makes... Yeah, so I was impressed already, and now I'm even further impressed. Because it's... I don't know. It's interesting for me to listen to this, and I have, a handful of listeners who will often write and say, I don't get the music you play. Occasionally, when I try to... I play it safe, generally, and try to play things that I think people will like, but I get more of a reaction from people when I play things that are, different from our sort of typical... what am I trying to say? Western sort of style music.
Yeah, or something that's, expanding the way that they're listening. I mean, I remember thinking that same way about listening to Ornette Coleman when I was younger, or listening to late John Coltrane stuff, or just anything that I hadn't heard before. I was like, whoa, what is going on here? But then the more you listen to it, the more it becomes kind of this, kind of common vernacular, or a language that you start to decode a little bit. So, yeah, there's not really anything to get. There's just listening.
So that's one of the things that I kind of want to, those questions make me start thinking about why I like sort of experimental work. And one of the things that sort of came up for me was that I partly an ADD sort of listening thing that I have, where I really get sort of excited by things that are communicating in a different way, like our traditional music in the West is this major minor thing, and it's a first chorus, and we're told by the composer, here's a minor song, so you should feel a certain way, and all that stuff. So I wonder, with your composing, are there cues that you sort of that say something to you that you'd like the listener to get, or is it really more just about letting the listener sort of interpret it however it comes up for them?
Well, yeah, I think what you're saying, being interested in kind of new sounds or new structures, and so I definitely agree with that. When I'm making music, I'm never really satisfied unless I'm making music that is, it's something new to my ears, something new to my experience. I don't know. It's just not it's not very fulfilling or interesting to me to make something that's kind of working out a specific genre or style or structure or something like that. And I think a lot of this music, it really kind of mixes up diatonic tonality, and there's definitely no verse chorus, verse bridge structure or anything like that. And I think a lot of that was really subconscious. We weren't trying to throw a wrench in anything. This really comes from a long history of sound art and music that's similar to this as well, making music that's kind of on the cusp of art and sound, and at the same time it's accessible for people to get into and enter into. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of subconscious stuff going on. we wanted to do something that felt good to us. Mm-hmm. And then in the process of doing that and just being together and collaborating and improvising on this stuff, we developed this kind of common language between the two of us that I think kind of broke through a lot of boundaries of song structure and tonality and stuff.
Cool. So then, so I had this listening with this collaboration, and then I went back and listened to some of your other work, and like Surf Boundaries, which is your most recent solo album. Is that right?
Actually, no. There's another piece that came out since then. It's called Plants and Hearts. It was on a label called Room 40.
Oh, okay.
My last solo thing. It's an EP, a 20-minute EP.
Okay. Actually, I got that on eMusic. I didn't realize.
But yeah, you're right. It's the last full length.
Okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure. Like, I always sometimes assume that the order in which I find things is the order that they came out, but that's not always true. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully you can listen to it in any order. So.
Yeah, it seems to be working out that way for me. But so Surf Boundaries has a lot more of that sort of, that I want to say Western sound, but I guess that's not really what I mean, but more accessible sound, if you will. And I enjoyed reading about how that was built too. Like, or was that? I can't remember where I read this. You had done a lot of recording of that album at home. Oh, it was on another interview, and then you mm-hmm. you went and recorded the drums and horns and vocals and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So actually, I have a song like ready to go for us to listen to from that album, and it's Color Shifting from Surf Boundaries. Mm-hmm. Any comments on that, or should we just jump right in?
Well, I mean, this release, I was experimenting with a lot of different stuff, and you mentioned it's more, you mentioned the term Western, and it's kind of more, I guess, poppy in a sense. But there's not any traditional song structures in this as well. I think some people, when listening to this, were almost like expecting certain types of songs or something to emerge. And there are these kind of little vignettes, but the whole piece is created from kind of these small structures kind of working together to create this greater whole. So there's some parts that are very more songy, but mm-hmm. you know, not traditional kind of song structures. And there's other more pieces that are almost like Ocean Fire related that don't have any type of kind of like similar popular or Western hooks in them. So this is like the first kind of more songy track on the album. It's actually the second track.
So let's give it a listen. This is Color Shifting from Christopher Willits. Thank you. Do you have any other collaborations in the works?
Yeah, there's a bunch of collaborations that I'm always kind of cultivating. Currently, I'm working on some sound design stuff with Paul D'Amore, and that's a lot of fun. Paul is one of the original, he's the original founding member of the band Tool, played bass with them, and I've always been into his playing and that band, you know, from back in high school, so it's definitely fun to be working with him. Then we're doing stuff, I'm doing stuff with this band called Flossin as well. Flossin is a band that's myself and Zach Hill from the band Hella, who's based out of Sacramento, and Kid 666 as well has played in this band, and then this last recording that we did involved Matmos and my friend Nate Boyce as well.
Oh, cool.
So that's going to be coming out pretty soon. We're talking to Mike Patton and Epicac about releasing that. And it's been done for a little bit. We're just kind of waiting for the right home to release it. And so that's a pretty big collaboration I'm working on that's like ongoing. It'll be ongoing for a long time, I can imagine. And then also working with Brad Lehner, who also, like Paul D'Amore, is like an old hero of mine. So it's really cool to be working on him. And we have a project called the North Valley Subconscious Orchestra, which is basically me and him doing guitar improvisations, and we build little song structures out of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've got some other stuff. I probably shouldn't announce it yet.
Okay.
NDA, non-disclosure agreement at this point. But,
got it.
There's some really, really cool stuff happening. I'm super excited about it. So depending on when that's completed, there should be something probably next year that's going to be coming out.
Oh, that's cool. So
brand new collaboration project.
Oh, I love it. There's that moment of like, oh, what's he working on?
Yeah, sorry, I don't want to spill the beans yet. But
yeah, that's totally cool. So and you're about to go on tour, right? It hasn't started yet?
Yeah, the tour starts in April. The first show actually is at Yuri's Night here in the Bay Area. It's this cool space festival they have every year. And then on the 14th, we go down to L.A., and then we do 19 shows throughout the United States and Canada.
And you're playing with Stars of the Lid, right?
Yeah, playing with Stars of the Lid. They asked me to open the tour for them. It's going to be an awesome tour. They have three different string players that are going to be touring with them, and also a projectionist that does 60mm films. And then I'm making a bunch of new video work out of my photography right now to be used and kind of folding into all the guitar processing that I do. So there's ways that I build different types of plugins and processing systems to cut up my guitar in different ways, and I'm mm-hmm. overlapping those into ways that I'm shuffling through and indexing through different photographs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really excited because we're not playing just kind of the traditional club kind of tour route. We're going to a lot of more alternative spaces, like we're playing Giant Episcopal Church in Philadelphia, and the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, and the Masonic Lodge in Montreal.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be interesting. There's going to be definitely some opportunities for some sonic exploration in these large cavernous spaces, which will be fun.
That's cool. And I like the idea of adding video to what's going on to your
music. Yeah, absolutely. I've made video for years, and finally, with the speed of computers and whatnot, it's a lot easier for me to do this stuff in real time,
yeah,
where everything's synced up to processing environments that I make with audio. So it's really exciting. This is like, you know, the second tour that I've been integrating my video work back into my audio stuff.
Okay.
Last one was last summer in Japan, Thailand, New Zealand, and then Australia. That went great.
So your website, overlap.org, we haven't talked about that yet, and it looks interesting. I haven't had a chance to delve into it too deeply, but maybe tell me a little bit about that.
So Overlap is this project that I founded, and we're releasing Pay What You Want music and videos. We're organizing events, and we're also providing anyone who signs up to overlap.org a way to share their work through a free blogging system that we have there. So what we're really about is like housing culture, you know, exposing people to all this cool stuff that's falling through the cracks of traditional kind of genre structures and filmmaking and all this stuff. We're really interested in the overlap of that material and that content and then the artists involved. It's a lot of fun. You should get involved in some way. If you want to even just like submit your own blog feed or something, you could do that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I wasn't sure how that worked. Like,
Yeah, I'm slowly starting to like work on some video, and I'm a composer too, but I have been doing nothing for a long time. So actually watching your, is it Accelerator? Is that the name of that website where those videos
are? Oh, yeah, Accelerator. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Accelerator. I'll put a link to that. I'll put all these links, by the way, in the show notes on the blog for the show.
But
yeah, so those videos are really like kind of got me. For a long time, I've been listening to this music like Finesse and your music and kind of like, how are they doing this? Mm-hmm. So it was great to watch those videos.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, really
a lot of this stuff is, you know, a lot of this stuff is accessible for people to do, but I feel like a lot of artists aren't really sharing the wealth in terms of the information that much. So that's really what that whole series is about, is trying to demystify a lot of the stuff and just share, because I think the more that this music, kind of music, different kinds of music, mm-hmm. Are being made, the better it is for everyone who's trying to create new words and new styles. But yeah, with Overlap, you can sign up and just like put your blog feed in there. It's a pretty low hurdle way of getting involved. And then we'll aggregate any of the stuff into the Overlap Commons. Anything that you post will go into Overlap too. So it's just extra promotion for you.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
So a quick question about Creative Commons. It's mentioned like here and there. I've seen and. Is all of your work Creative Commons licensed?
It's not all Creative Commons licensed. The track Color Shifting that you played earlier in the show is Creative Commons licensed, which means that anyone can take the content of that song and remix it and do whatever they want with it, as long as they're not making money from it. So it's a certain license called by NC, non-commercial use is permitted. But in theory, pretty much all my work should be Creative Commons licensed. I just haven't gone through and really like documented it
right.
as such. But I think, like for instance, you know, Nine Inch Nails just had their new release is all Creative Commons licensed, and I think that that's really going to help people understand that a Creative Commons license does not mean that you're just throwing your music to the wind. It means that you're just creating clear delineations, clear agreements of sharing. So, Creative Commons license on a track. Could say, okay, anyone share this stuff, you're not going to be a criminal if you give this to your best friend because you think they might like it, or if you post it on your blog, or if you decide to do a remix of it. You know, that's totally cool. But just don't make money from it.
Yeah.
Or other Creative Commons licenses say, do whatever you want with this. You can make money off it or whatever. So there's all these different kinds of, you know, agreements that fill in the gap between something being completely free to the wind and something, you know, that's making one of your fans a criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's about intention and it's about clarity. And I'm very, very thankful that Creative Commons exists, because it's helping to kind of, you know, focus that communication, clarify it. I mean, on Overlap, what we're doing is all the releases that we have are Creative Commons licensed with by NC license. So that means that anyone can download it. It's fine if people share it. That's wonderful. We want people to share it. And just don't sell it for a profit.
Beautiful. Well, but it is. I mean, I'd say that jokingly.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. It's a very necessary process, and it's a very, I don't know, it just clearly states the way that we can interact with media.
Yeah. Love it. Beautiful. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for calling, and thanks for getting in touch.
Hey, no problem. So we're going to end the show with a track from your album, Folding in the Tea. And
great.
This is called Or With the Tea.